I want to talk to you this morning about the blessing of obedience. And I want you to turn your Bibles over to Deuteronomy. Over to Deuteronomy. You're going to love this. Chapter 7. I made a little note in my phone and recorded a little little story that a man wrote, and I loved it, and I didn't even know where I was going this week. And when I saw that, I thought, oh, I got to share that before I minister, because it'll tie right in. Listen to this little article first. It was so cute. Well, I guess we think it's cute, but Tom probably didn't think it was too cute. It is. You listening? A college man walked into a photography shop or studio with a framed picture of his girlfriend, and he wanted the picture to be duplicated, and this involved removing it from its frame. And in doing this, the studio owner noticed the inscription on the back of the photograph. It said, "My dearest Tom, I love you with all my heart. I love you more and more each day. I will love you forever and ever. I'm all yours for eternity." And it was signed Diane. And then it contained a P.S. "If we ever break up, I want this picture back." So I just wanted to tell you, God is not like that beautiful girlfriend. He is not going to take his promises back. We used to sing that old song when I was growing up called "Every Promise in the Book is Mine." Every chapter, every verse, every line. I am trusting in his love divine. Every promise in the book is mine. And that's true. And it never changes. And you know what? There's no P.S. on it. So you don't have to worry about getting a P.S. like that. I just want it back if you ever quit following me, okay? So, there is a blessing in walking in obedience. And when we gave our hearts to Jesus and were saved, the Bible says in the book of Psalms through David that we were loaded with benefits daily. And sometimes we don't feel too loaded, but I want to tell you, we are. And I want to go to the Old Testament first. Most of the time, I will say, I will not bring you an Old Testament word without bringing you a New Testament word to confirm that. So let's go over to Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 12. Look at 12 and 13. "And then it shall come to pass," listen, "and why will it come to pass? Because you listen to these judgments and keep them and do them, that the Lord your God will keep you with the covenant and the mercy which he swore to your fathers," or his promises. A covenant is a promise. "And he will," I want you to underline this if you have your Bibles open or highlight it, "he will love you, bless you, and multiply you." Tiff, let's take that down right there, and we'll come back to it, okay? "He will love you, bless you, and multiply you." And that part of him loving us, a lot of people have a lot of problem with trying to get a hold of the fact that he loves us. And even that we love him, because we can't see him. These people had been in some ultimate bondage. They had been in under Pharaoh, under a hard taskmaster. They had been out in Egypt. Everything was hard. They had to make the mortar to build the bricks, to with the bricks. It was a horrible life for them. Now they're getting ready to go out. Moses is dead. God put Joshua in his place, and now Joshua is getting ready to take the people over. And God is telling them, now you are beginning a new season in your life. A new season, a new day, a new era. Now, I've been talking to you about this being a new era, a new century, a new millennium, ever since we started in 2000. And now we're like 25 years down the road from 2000. And we all know that we're in a new season in our lives. And you all feel that. You all know it. You know you're in a new season. You're feeling this thing begin to pivot, begin to turn. I feel it for our church. You feel it for your church probably and in your home and in your life. There's all kinds of things happening. David even said when he came down here, you heard what he said, things changed all over for him. Because this is a new season. And God, and Joshua said, listen to me, those of you that have heard God's promises and you who will keep his covenant and you will keep his instructions and you will be obedient to him. And then he goes to unload on them and says, here's what you have. God himself speaking through Moses the prophet saying, I love you. I will bless you, and I will multiply you. There's nothing like his love. There will be nothing that will ever compare to that. So he not only blesses us and loves us spiritually and blesses us with spiritual things in our heart and in our minds, he said in the book of Philippians, Paul said that his love will guide us. His love will keep our hearts and our minds. Another portion says his peace will keep our hearts and our minds. We got to have a keeper over our minds and our heart, and God knew that. And so he said, I'm going to give my peace to you because the earth doesn't have any. Oh, the earth has some kind of peace from certain things it tries to give you, whether it be money or drugs or alcohol or something tries to give you peace. But he says, I've got a peace that it'll literally keep your heart, keep your mind. And not only does it bless you on the inside, but it blesses you on the outside. And then there'll be an outward blessing. And not only is there an outward blessing, but there's that blessing that everybody sees and knows. And they'll begin to see that his blessings are open, open blessings. You were this way last year, but this year you're going to be this way. It could have been yesterday that Joseph was in the pit. Yesterday he was in prison. Yesterday he was nobody, but the next day he's in the palace. So we go into all of these different places, but was because of this very thing, God's love, and he was blessed, which is favor, the blessing, the favor, and then he says, I will multiply you. I will multiply you. And so all we have to do, church, is hold this promise, get it in your heart. I said all we have to do, and sometimes people make a big deal, and it's really hard for us to do these things that we don't seem to have control over. Well, we don't, thank God, but he has control over it. And he said, so I can do this for you. In fact, I will do it for you because you love me, you serve me, you keep my promises. So I'm going to openly bless you. I'm going to bless you on the inside and on the outside. And Isaiah put a little piece out there on the sign that said, you're going to go through things, but you may as well enjoy the process or something like that. How many have ever been in the process? I hate that part. I don't like the process. But after a while, you get older and you realize, well, I'm just processing here until I move to the next phase. So we receive his promise and then we activate it. How do we activate it? You know how you get those credit cards and they'll say, if you want this, pull the little strip off and activate it. Well, you just probably ought to throw that thing away or cut it up first. Activate it, you pull the strip off, and then you go into debt. And so if you want to activate this, you won't go into debt. You activate this by believing it. Simply believing it. All you got to do is believe what God says. So we're loved and blessed, and then he says, I'll multiply you, and that means increase. I'll increase your home, I'll increase your money, I will increase your love, I'll increase everything that pertains to you in this life. He had so many things that he said, when you walk in obedience with me, you activate these things and walk in obedience to me, and my love is yours, my blessing is yours. My multiplication is yours. How we need multiplication, church. All right, Tiffany, let's put up that next part. Go ahead and put the whole verse back up again. Look at this. 7 and 13. He will love you. He'll bless you. He will multiply you. Woo, look at this. That if he would have just left that right there, I could have come in here. We could have read that. He will love us, bless us, multiply us. How many said that would be good? But he said also, okay, let's look at this. He, not your boss, not your best friend, not your wife, not your husband, he will also bless the fruit of your womb and the fruit of your land. Let's stop right there and talk about the fruit of your womb. The fruit of your womb, of course, is your children, ladies. Your children came out of your womb. Your husband was a part of that little seed in the womb. And so he said, but I will bless the fruit of your womb. Whether you have one child or many children, he said, I will bless them. And you say, yeah, but Pastor, you said blessed is the fruit of my womb, but some of my kids aren't even serving God now. They're grown up. They're not even serving God. Pray for them and remind God, God, you said blessed is the fruit of my womb. When those kids get out of hand, they start acting up. God, that was your promise. Pastor just read it to me. I just read it in Deuteronomy the other day. Blessed is the fruit of my womb. So that boy is blessed. That girl is blessed. Lady told me the other day, said, my children, my two boys, they haven't spoken to each other. And I forget how many years they haven't even spoken to each other. I said, Mama, pray. That just sounds too simple. It just sounds like an old cliche. But here you got it. Blessed is the fruit of my womb. Not one of those boys, but both of them. Both of those kids. Blessed is the fruit. Did they come out of your womb? Yes. Uh-huh. Did you adopt someone? Well, they didn't come out of your womb. But you know what? You gave them a womb. You blessed them. You kept them. So blessed is the fruit of your womb. I mean, you have all kinds of things. Your child is sick. Pray for them. Blessed is the fruit of your womb. Your children going through something. Blessed is the fruit of my womb. Your married children go through a little something in their marriage. Blessed is the fruit of my womb. And blessed is the fruit of my daughter-in-law or my son-in-law's womb. I'm going to bless his mother's womb or her mother's womb because you said blessed is her womb. So you can go ahead and claim these blessings. I love this because they still came out of your womb. Maybe they're not even speaking to you. That happens sometimes. Some move away and they don't even... I remember one lady was telling me a few years ago and God delivered them and set them free. Remember that? Her daughter hadn't spoken to her, come around for, I can't remember, a few years. But God delivered and set free. Blessed. Blessed was the fruit of her womb. So keep these promises. That's how you activate them. By believing them. Blessed is the fruit of my womb. And then he said, look at this, he will also bless the fruit of your womb and the fruit, listen, the fruit of your land. Your land. What is your land? It's your house. I said, yeah, but I don't own my house. It doesn't matter. You're buying your house. It doesn't matter. Blessed is that house. Well, I live in an apartment. Well, blessed is your apartment because you're there. That's where you dwell. Well, blessed is my little rental. I rent this house. Then blessed is your rental where you live. Well, some of you may own a couple of homes. Well, blessed are your homes because they're your land. That's your land. Blessed is your land. Some of you men have a shop. in the back of your house. Blessed is your shop. Why? Because it's on your land. So everything on your land, your flowers, blessed are my flowers, except mine, because they never grow with me. And so, but I don't ever pray about that. I don't even claim that scripture because, I don't know, God probably wouldn't even want to talk to me about it because I'm not good at watering them and whatever. So, but he said, blessed is your land and everything on it, your porch, your patio furniture, your pool, everything, your little barbecue grill that Art likes to get up or smoke or whatever. Everything on your land is blessed. Is that good? Doesn't matter how big, how small, whether it belongs to you or the landlord. He said, oh no, it's the fruit of your land. So I will bless not only the fruit of your womb, but the fruit, look at that, fruit of your land. Anything that's on your land is blessed. Amen? Ah, I love this. I love it. I love it. Okay, let's go on. Blessed is fruit of your womb, the fruit of your land. And then he says, your grain and your new wine and your oil. We'll stop right there. Oh, my goodness. The fruit of your land. I don't see Debbie Bowen here this morning, but let me back up. And I was thinking about the fruit of the land. She has goats, chickens, and horses. And she has all that up on the hill. And I've got to call her and give her this and say, Debbie, your horses, those little goats, those little ratty goats, they're blessed because they're on your land. Your dogs, your cats, they're on your land. And it says, and their offspring. Well, we'll get to that. And it's talking about even the animals that live on your land are blessed. Did you see that? No, I'm getting ahead of myself there. It was the next verse down. But everything on your land, but your grain and your corn, that's your food. Your food. Blessed is your food. Blessed is your pantry. You see, I don't have enough in my pantry. Bless it. Use this. God, you said my pantry would be blessed. You said my refrigerator would be blessed. You said my freezer would be blessed. Lord, I bless my pantry. I bless my grain. I bless the bread. I bless all that you have given me, Lord, that pertains to my corn. In Deuteronomy 28, it gives us this promise. It says, if you hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, it says he will bless, listen to this, he will bless your basket and your store. That means your pantry. He'll bless all your food. You go grocery shopping, you're just going for bread and milk, and you walk out with $100 worth or $50 worth, and you shouldn't have spent that. I'm telling you, there are times where I'd have to walk into that grocery store and say, Lord, show me that I don't get anything extra. You know I can't. I'll have to put it back. Help me, Lord. So I'm telling you, he will help you make those decisions when you need them. But he said, I'll also bless your store. I'll bless your house, and I will bless your basket, and I'll bless your pantry. Amen. All right, look, and then I love this part. He says, and I'll bless your new wine, your new wine. I'll bless your new wine and your oil, your new wine and your oil. Not the old wine. That's not under a blessing. But he talks about under the new wine. The new wine has to do with the Holy Spirit. The new wine, the old wine, people think, it settles you down, makes you laugh, gives you boldness, helps you sleep. But the new wine does all of that plus. So he talks about a new wine. Now let me show you this. Deuteronomy 11. Just flip the page over. Deuteronomy 11, 11. Look at this. Deuteronomy 11, 11. I'm sorry. 11. Deuteronomy 11, 12. Let's do 11, 12. A land for which the Lord your God cares. The eyes of the Lord your God are always on it. That's not what I'm looking for. 14. I want to go down to 14. 11, 14. Then I will give you the rain for your land in its season. Somebody say, in its season. And what else? The early rain and the latter rain, that you may gather, look, your grain, that your new wine and your oil And I will send grass in your fields for your livestock that you may eat and be filled. God says, I want you filled. I want you blessed. I want your heart satisfied. I want your mind satisfied. I don't want you dealing with stuff constantly. I want you to relax. So I've got a new wine for you, and I have a new oil and anointing. Again, that oil keeps a car running right. The oil and the gladness of the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit, the light of the Holy Spirit. Oil goes into a lamp, turns a light on. The lamp of the Holy Spirit gives us light, amen, to our darkened path, amen. And so that new wine brings us a genuine joy. Last night there were some people around my home. I don't know where they were. I looked out when I went to bed, and I couldn't see the people across the street having a party or down the way. But you know how music travels through the air? I'm telling you, those people partied hard about 2 o'clock, 2:30. That drum was thumping, the bass was thumping, and I don't know what else was thumping, but there were noises and yells and woohoos and all of those. And this morning when I got up before, it was so quiet out there. I thought, oh, I just want to go over there, and just if I had a drum, I'd take it over there and beat it on their windows if I knew who it was. I'd just get Sarah's bass and I'd pound that bass. Oh, I just had a hateful old spirit, you know. Just wanted to. They didn't care, though. They were just sleeping right on through it, probably hungover and all that, too. But anyway, so he said, I got some oil for you, my presence, my light. But look at this. Look, let's go on. Verse 13 again. Keep it right there. And he will love you. Don't forget that. Bless you, multiply you. He will bless the fruit of your womb and the field. Excuse me, the fruit of your land, everything on your land, even your water hose, everything there, it's all yours. The little toys for the kids, everything, the fruit of your land, your grain, your new wine, your oil, and the increase of your cattle, and the offspring of your flock. I will bless the increase of your cattle, your offspring of your flock. You say, well, I don't have any cows, but I got a dog. Well, even bless old Blue, Mike, Portia. Old Blue will be blessed just because he's yours. Yeah, he knows it. Oh, Kathy Lewis got a new dog, this little tiny white cute dog, I guess. So she takes it to get cut at the groomer, and she tells the groomer, she goes, okay, I'm going to charge you guys. You can each get 2 looks apiece, and that's it. That's how beautiful she thinks that dog is. So Miss Stacy wrote to me one day and said, Pastor, I can't be at church. I'm taking my dogs up to Monterey. She said, I got to get them up there and get some eye treatment. I think that's what it was. She had to take care of those dogs' eyes, take them to a special doctor. Why? She loves those dogs. Oh, I see you, Tank. I see you all. I mean, your dogs. Oh, my goodness. Your cats. Some of you like that with cats. Ooh. But you know what? He said, I care about them too. I care about your dog. He said, I care about your cats. And I care about their, get this, he says, I care about their puppies. I'm like, God, you got to be kidding. No, I care about their puppies. I care about their kittens. Really? No, I care about their offspring. Why? Because you love them. Just because you do. Those big dogs, Laura, you love them, he loves them. So he said, I'm going to take care of them. I will bless them. We lived up at the ranch in the same scripture. A lot of the same thing is repeated in Deuteronomy 28. Our bulls would get something around the hoof called hoof rot. And after dinner, Rick would say, I'm going to go out and have to get that out of that cow's hoof. And the girls and I would take my Bible, that old date Bible. We'd go down to the corrals, and I'd take my Bible and hold that verse up toward that bull. God, you said our cattle are blessed. You said they're kind. The calves are blessed. I'm telling you, church, this is all real. Amen? It's just all real. I mean, love on your little dogs. God loves your dog. Did you know that? Well, you do now. So whatever you have, he says, whatever you have is blessed because of you. That dog, that cat, that little rabbit, whatever you have that's in your house is blessed because you're there and you're the blessed woman of God. You're the blessed man of God. God wants us to enjoy everything that he gave us. And he wants to multiply what he's given to us. Money? Yeah, he wants your money multiplied. He wants your earnings multiplied. That's why all of these things come together. And he says, when you take care of me, I take care of the rest. Go ahead. And I know I've got to move. Ooh, we're already moving here quickly. So he says, I will take care of all that. Let's read that. Your cattle and your offspring of your flock and in the land of which he swore to your fathers to give you. He said, man, I swore to your fathers I'd give you this land, and it's great. And so I said, Lord, where can I go in the New Testament? And my mind simply just went over to Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Seek my kingdom first. Seek his kingdom first in his righteousness. And what? All these things will be added to you. He didn't even have to mention again, my love, my blessing, my multiplication, your cows, your horses, your dogs, your cats, your land, your shop, everything that you have, your fishing pole. He didn't have to say, I'm going to bless that because of you. He just said, look, 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 just seek me first in my righteousness and be obedient to me, and I'll just add all of this stuff. I'll add it to you, okay? That's all I'm going to go. I'm not going to go ahead and go on and read that to us, and I'm going to bring you one more thing and we'll quit. You know the story over in Luke chapter 10 about Mary and Martha. The Bible says that Martha had invited Jesus to her house. That's what we do. We invite Jesus, Allie. We love him. We invite him to our house. But then what do? We invited him into our heart. But Martha got distracted, okay, because she's going to have to get this house clean and get that dinner on. Jesus himself is there. She's got company there. Lazarus is there. So they're all there. And now here she wants her sister to help her serve, but little Mary's sitting down there at Jesus' feet learning. Jesus, don't you care that she's here? And here's what Jesus said. I'll shorten it. He said that, Martha, Martha, you are careful and troubled about way too many things. And it said she was distracted. She got distracted. What do, ladies? We get distracted. It wasn't sinful things that Martha was distracted with. She just had a whole lot of business going on. She could have been a businesswoman, I don't know, but she had a lot of stuff going. So she got distracted. And Jesus said, Martha, now I am going to quote this because I want you to see exactly what he said. Put up Luke 10, 41 and 42. Miss Larissa, do you realize that that furniture store and everything in it is blessed? Except those bulldogs in the back. I know it's distracting. I wasn't going to say that. But no, I was kidding you about your dogs. They're blessed too because mama's there. So look what Jesus said in Luke 10. I love honest people, don't you? How many ever gets distracted? Oh, my Lord, I have to keep my nose in this book just to get me out of that distraction. All right, look at Luke 10, 41, 42. Jesus said this. After he says to Martha, you're so careful and troubled about too much. He says, but one thing is needed. Somebody say this. One thing is needed. And Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her. What? Oh, this one thing. He says, one thing is needed. To get all his love and his blessing, and it's ours because we gave our heart to him. The blessing on your home and your job and where you go. When you go into Save Mart, Save Mart is blessed just because you're in the house. You're going down with your little cart and you're just minding your own business, not even know that goodness and mercy is following right behind you like two little kids. They're just following right behind you because they're there all the time. Hey, Mark, so blessed to have you there. The post office is blessed when you go because you're a blessing to be there because he's on you and he's in you. That's the one thing. He said, Mary, that's the one, Martha, that's the one thing that is needed. And Mary chose that. and it'll never be taken away from her. What I'm giving you this morning, if we stay in obedience with God, and we love Him and we walk with Him, what are we going to do? He said, just stay close to Jesus. Mary was down at His feet just learning. Stay close to Him. Hear what He has to say. Fellowship with Him. Talk to Him every single day. I knew when I brought this message this morning. To me, this message right here, this message is like, I don't know. It's like that apple pie and ice cream you served this tank. It's like that blackberry pie and ice cream or hot fudge sundae or banana split or, you know, Stafford's candy or See's candy. It's whatever sweet you like if you like sweets. This was the dessert. And some of you say, Pastor, you should be bringing us a tougher message. You should be talking about the coming of the Lord. You should be talking about this. You should. You just got to do what He tells you to do. That's why. And so there's got to be this variety. We have to be taught all things. Oh, no, we get the collard greens around here. And we get the broccoli. And we get the asparagus. And we get steak. But we also get dessert. And so to me, this is like, God, you couldn't have given us anything better than this dessert today. So stay in fellowship with Him every day. And when Jesus went away, He said, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to live in you. And that's how this, listen, this is how we do this. You and I couldn't do this any other way. This life is not easy at times. And the way we get through and the way we face our stuff is by Him, the Holy Spirit. And the way the Holy Spirit, He says, He has shed His love abroad in our hearts. His love is shed abroad in our heart, which keeps our heart and our mind with His peace. Hallelujah. Stand with me this morning. Wonderful Jesus. Bless the Lord. Father, thank You for Your sweet people. You're a mighty God. Oh, Lord, how easily we can get distracted. But, Lord, how easily You pick us up. And the Holy Spirit does all things well. Glory to Your name. Thank You, Jesus. Would you just bow your heads for a moment in the peace of God? I know you got to go get the kids here soon. Thank You, Lord Jesus. Lord, I pray that even right now, she'll be given an altar call and those little children will turn their hearts to You. Maybe some of them don't even know You. And Lord, there's maybe most of them know You. But I pray that if there's one little one that doesn't know You, they'll find You now. And is there anyone in this house right now that says, Pastor Paulette, I haven't submitted myself to Him, but I need all that You said I could have. But more than that, I need that one thing. That one thing is needful. That one thing. And that one thing is Jesus. That one thing is Him. Would you lift your hand right up and right back down if that's you? Because you need that one certain thing. Hallelujah. Glory to Your name. Lord, look at Your sweet people this morning. Lift your hands before the Lord this morning, please. Would everybody just lift your hands up? See, I'm not used to doing that. We'll just lift them halfway up. That's all right. Father, You said You behold the inhabitants of the earth from Your heaven. Would You take a look at us down here at Landmark, in this building, in this house? And Lord, we want to lift our hands and empty out anything that we've been holding really tight. But we just want to empty it out. You said, set aside everything that does so easily beset you or upset you. Lay it down. Don't be gossipy. Don't run off and tell somebody else, oh, she said this, she said, he said that, he said, she said, he said. No, we're adults. We don't have to run off and tell our little friends. We just got to be strong in the faith. Okay, go eyeball, talk like that. and let the Spirit of the Lord rest upon you. And you don't have to cower from the devil. You can stand right up in his face. Devil, you leave my kids alone. You won't have my kids. You won't have my marriage. You won't have my money. You won't have my business. You won't have my mind. You won't have my body with sickness. Because my God says that I am blessed. He loves me. And he will multiply me. And my land is blessed. And the fruit of my womb is blessed. Ladies, put your hand on your womb right now. Put your hand on your inner stomach. Just put a hand right there. I want you to say with all of your might and power inside your heart right now, just say, blessed is the fruit of my womb. Excuse me. Say it again. Come on until you believe it. Blessed is the fruit of my womb. My little ones, say it with me, my little ones, my older ones, my grandchildren, blessed is the womb of my daughter-in-law's mother, and blessed is the fruit of the womb of my son-in-law's mother. Come on. Father, thank you for this blessing you've given to your people. I thank you for the blessing upon our homes. Lord, some need another home. Some need another car. Some need a car that will get them to work and back safely without the battery going down. Somebody needs a new truck. Lord, with a transmission ready to go out or whatever's going on. But you, that's a part of their land, Lord. It's a part of where they live. It's a part of where they dwell. And you said, blessed is everything that pertains to them. So, Lord, we're going to take these blessings and activate them because of our belief in you. Because we're going to believe your word and hold his word to us. And receive it today. Lift your hands and say, I receive this, Lord. I receive this word to my heart, my house, my home, my children. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Now, don't forget the senior breakfast on Saturday at 9 o'clock. It's not just Saturday. It's the following one. Okay. I'm sorry, there it says 26. Let me just bless you right now as we go our way. And again, don't forget to ask God about this. He said he would multiply, amen? He said he would multiply us. So whatever you have in the bank, Lord, multiply it. Rusty said, I want to give at least this. He was saying, I want to give $3,000 in a tithe check. I said, Rusty, I pray, God, help me to give $20,000. You know, when you're blessed to give like that, that means you had a whole lot coming in. I pray, Larissa, that you'll have to tithe $1 million this year. Wouldn't that be something if you had to tithe $1 million? Do you know how much money that would mean came in for you? I don't know. Figure it out. Hallelujah. But we take your little paper home and pray. Take it before the Lord and say, Lord, I'd sure love to see your kingdom. Bring that $300 to my house that I can give it to your kingdom. What a miracle that would be, Father, in Jesus' name. Will the Lord bless you and keep you and cause his face to shine upon you. May he be gracious to you, turn his face toward you and bring healing into your body where the healing is needed. We bless you in every area of your heart, mind, and soul. You're already blessed in your home and all that pertains to you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Thank you all for being here today.